Hey, y'all. Welcome to Traveler's Guide to Venus and Mars with Princess Robin. If you've ever wondered how relationships are approached from another perspective, this is your relationship roadmap. Today, we are still talking about problematic partners, and our tour guides are still Terry, Sean J, and Leah. Thanks for hanging out with me a little bit longer, everybody.
Hey.
And for all the newbies out there, the ground rules are as follows. There are no right or wrong answers. Debate is welcome. Keep it clean, keep it real, but most importantly, have fun. So on that, I'm gonna go on to clean my neighbor. I know Leah doesn't drink much wine, but I do. Let me get my sip. There we go. So in our first part of problematic partners, I encourage you to go back and listen if you missed it. But we talked a little bit about what constitutes a problematic partner for us. What are some of the things that, what are some of the behaviors or actions that are problematic for our partners to engage in for us to be in a relationship? And we started to get in a little bit into what happens when you realize that the relationship that you're in, that partner is problematic. I think actually Leah might have ended with saying, you know, like when you realize it and maybe it's time to call it, it's time to do something. But, you know, for some reason, some of us have a hard time doing that. So I'd like to unpack that a little bit today. But I wasn't sure if Terry was trying to say something when we ran out of time. So I wanted to start with you, Terry.
What I was going to say is that, you know, I had mentioned about being disrespected, but also a big thing for me that will end it all or start to really have a crash and burn is lack of communication. Mm-hmm. When you really try to talk to someone and you try to reach them and say, hey, you know, what's going on? Like, what exactly is it? And you get the little bit of this is what it is, or this is, you know, kind of what's going on, but you really can't reach that person. Mm-hmm. That to me will end a relationship quickly, because yeah. I'm dealing with my own things and I'm trying to maybe get that person to try to support me or support the relationship. But if you can't communicate with me, and I'm a communicator, and it may be, you know, very little that I say, but it's going to be a lot because I'm going to try to think about what you're going through. If you can't reciprocate that back to me, then it's basta.
Right. You know, you're kind of channeling your inner, your big brother, Casey, who I think every single episode he's ever appeared on. And yes, this is probably like episode 122 or 23 now. He will always talk about the importance of communication, because it sounds like, you know, in our first episode, there were things we talked about where sometimes what seems like a problem, you know, what might be a problem for me might not be a problem, you know, for Sean Jay in his relationship or Leah in her relationship. But what's important is that you keep those lines of communication open with your partner, so you do know, like, where does everybody stand and what how is everybody being impacted by whatever the issue is that's on the table. So that's really important, Terry, I think. You know, I wanted to co-sign on that. If I didn't clink my neighbor, plus I want a sip of wine, I'm going to clink
my neighbor. I think that we also have to, while we're talking about problematic partners, we have to talk about where we're at with the problem. Like, what part of the problem are we giving it? You know what I mean? Because rarely is there a problem that's 100% belongs to the partner. It usually has some that belongs to us too, you know? And so, you know, you got to look on the inside and say, do my issues, you know, cause we all got them. Do my issues, are they able to coincide and live peacefully with this person's issues? Or, you know, is it going to drive me crazy? You know, when Terry, like Terry said, I'm trying to communicate and he's not even putting in any effort because he's not a talker, or he's not a, you know, he's not a this or he's not a that. And I mean, you know, if you're trying, I can't really be mad, but if you're not even like giving it any effort, and I'm telling you, you know, these are my needs, you know, and I'm very quick to tell you, this is my love language. These are my needs, you know, really primary, and I need them. You know what I mean? Like words of affirmation, I need to hear them. I don't hear them. I'm going to hear them somewhere else. That's the bottom line. So get them ready. I need to be bombarded with them, kind of. And but if he just says that, you know, that's not who I am as a person, it's just kind of like, well, yeah, we don't need to date, you know, and I'm trying to go on to the next person. Cause I mean, despite you telling me not to ever get married and then getting married, I'm still trying to get married.
I permit it now, Leah. I'd be okay with it after strong vetting.
Right. But I have to say, like, what is our, if we're not being honest with ourselves, or we're looking at this person who's problematic and saying, I can change them, and we're, you know, in our middle age, if you're young, you might think you can change somebody. But at this age, we know you can't change anybody. They're not changing. They are who they are, and they're not changing unless they want to. And they're really dedicated to it. So if we stay, we're part of the problem. We're feeding the problem.
Sean Jay, you look like you got something to say.
Well, I think I wanted to, I mentioned my ex and our relationship. And I just want to be clear that we both had our issues, right? He was not the sole issue, the problem. Like, we came into that relationship coming from two foundationally different backgrounds. And I think what he valued and what I valued were very different. Mm-hmm. And I think that in and of itself is a problem, which is going to rear its ugly head somewhere down the line. His relationship with money was different than my relationship with money. His relationship with his parents was different than my relationship with my parents. And how we both moved through the world was very different. And I think we both did not get what we needed in that relationship. We both were not the right persons for each other in that relationship. And I think I could easily sit back and go, oh, he was a butthead. Da-da-da-da-da-da. No, because he's probably known his friends the same thing. My ex, Sean Jay, he was this big old pain. He thought he was always right. He never had anything nice to say. Because I'm honest and I'm direct and I don't have much of a filter. And the thing is, I expect that in my partner. My partner was not like that, right? Things had to sit for a while before they even got communicated. And I think I had learned, which I didn't, I learned since then, I need to be okay with that because they're going to do it in their own time. Thing is, sometimes that time moves really quickly. And if you don't say something, I have moved on.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that we have to understand, being with someone, we are sometimes that problem. And
I'm so glad you said that. I was going to ask about that, but I'm clinking you again on that. Because you know what? You make a good point, Sean Jay. It's not necessarily that. And there can be cases where it's not that either partner is inherently problematic, but it's just not a match. You know what I mean? That doesn't mean you're bad or I'm bad, but we're just not right for each other. That sounds
and that's the problem. And that's the problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Despite having strong physical or emotional ties to each other, you know, there's like trauma bonding where, you know, you could be with somebody and you guys have gone through some stuff together. He's had your back or you've had his or, you know, whatever. And you're together and you guys, you know, maybe physically meld and all that stuff. And then, you know, it makes it like, yeah, for sure. But you're just like, yeah, I know that this isn't right. Like, you know, like you know, it's not right. He probably knows it's not right. But you just, you know, I guess also the problem is as you turn 50, you don't want to be alone, you know, so maybe you put up with a little bit more problematic behavior.
And we have to stop trying to make it right. That's the other thing too, is that realizing that it doesn't have to be right. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be where we have to be with somebody just to say we're with somebody. I tell Kevin all the time that if I was not with him, I swear to you, I would be at Barnes & Noble on a Friday or Saturday night with a vanilla mocha, chilling. I don't have to be with somebody.
Thank you, neighbor. You know, truly.
Let me come on video to show you that I'm taking a sip for that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Some people would argue, and I am mad at them, that if you are not a good partner for yourself, you are not a good partner for somebody else. If you can't stand your own company and be in your own presence and, you know, love yourself, you are not ready to be with someone else. I see Sean Jay clinking. And just because if y'all can't hear it,
I'm a gift that everybody, like, I'm a social being. Like, I'm a social person. I've been social since my report card since kindergarten. I've read Leah will not stop talking in class. I'm a social person. So I like to have cookouts and people over and people to watch the game with. I don't like to do things alone. I don't like to travel alone. I don't like to go to movies alone. I don't like to, you know, like, I love to read, but I'm not going to be a Barnes and Noble by myself. You know, like, I don't.
I'll call you. You can come with me, Leah.
She's going to call Perry to go to Barnes and Noble.
It's not that I don't love myself. It's just more like I like company. But, you know, I think what's dangerous is my mix is that, and I know my own, you know, weakness. My problem and my biggest problem, my friends all know this, is that I am attracted to just really, really, really fine men. Like, and a lot of them are athletes and a lot of them are, I won't use that word, but they're not. They're friendly.
Well, that's just you, Leah, because everybody else on this call only likes ugly men.
Yeah.
No,
I mean, I like dogs.
These dudes be like my dude right now, green eyes, fine. Like, just, I be looking at him sometime and I be like, you got the gray beard and everything. I be like, God dang, he's fine. But then I just be like, oh, you know, he irritates my soul, you know, like with some of his ways, because he's quiet. I always date introverts. I don't know why. Michael is an introvert.
Did you meet him at Barnes & Noble?
No,
but
in the basketball. I look at him and I'm like, he's so fine. But if he just, like, if I could just look at him, then I would be like, we have a great relationship. But I hope he never listens to this podcast. But if we, if I delve into what he's missing as far as a relationship, he does not speak my love language at all, because he doesn't speak.
We're going to have to send him a copy of the book, Five Love.
No, I bought him two, one for his kids and one for me. And
I see you trying to jump in.
No, so it was something Leah said. Thank you, Robin. So the thing is, it is okay to want to be social. I think that the key thing in that element is, do you need it? So there's a need and a want. If you need to always be around folks, you need to reach out and get yourself a therapist. And
I'm laughing at the way you said it. Not the way you said it, because that's true. But it's the way you said it.
But not just Leah. I think everyone should be in therapy, because we are all dealing with stuff that we don't even know is sitting there in the back.
I got two therapists.
Okay. So then you're working on it then. So the good thing,
like, I got grief counseling and some other stuff. But so
if you're selecting guys, because if you're selecting guys who are always quiet, but they fine, it's sort of there's something there, because if you're like this out and about and out in energy, but then you select guys who are quiet, there's something there, right? You are doing that for a reason. And I don't know what that reason is, because I'm not a therapist, but I think that's something to unpack, because what happens if you do get a guy who is on your same level when it comes to social status, social gatherings, does that mean that you shrink away and you're trying not to shrink away? So you make sure you're the alpha in the team. So I think just look at that, because I think that's the thing about, like, what Terry was saying. If she wasn't married, she's okay being with herself. Not that you're not okay being with yourself. I think it's just a matter of, like, finding out what that balance is. Because, like, at 54, I'm like, I know I want to be in a relationship, but I also am hesitant, because I am very, very comfortable with myself. Like, I don't need to go anywhere, do anything with anyone. Like, I like being in my own space, a little too much probably. But I do know the next person I end up with, I want him to be comfortable chilling at home, as well as going to a theater opening and talking to my friends around a big table, a small table. So I know I want that. And I want us to be able to share everything. Like, there's this couple I read about that they share everything, the uncomfortable, the outrageous. And I want that, because I think I wanted that previously. I want you to know everything about me. every nook, every cranny, mm-hmm. every dark spot, every ugly spot, every beautiful spot, because I don't want anyone to not, that was an element of challenge in my last relationship. He thought I was someone I wasn't. And when he realized who I was, it was like, oh, that's not going to work. It's like, no, it's not going to work because I'm not going, this is who I am. You just didn't see it because I was hiding some of it, right? And I was hiding some of it because I didn't know my full worth and I wanted to make sure I had someone. And I think that work continues because I can go to the extreme, oh, this is totally who I am, which will totally scare someone off, or I dial it down. So I have to find this place of just being, I'm all of that. And I think finding that is where we all can stop being problematic ourselves and attracting people who are not going to be a problem for themselves and us and a relationship. I think that's the journey and that's the sweet spot. And I think it's just, it's the work we all have to do and being honest with each other as best we can. I think just, I have no filter. And I think the men I come across don't like that. They ain't the ones that I'm supposed to be with. And I realize that. It took a while to come to that realization. But if you can't take honest, and I ain't like calling you out your name. I ain't saying anything. Like, I'm just like, this is how I feel. And then they can't handle it. Mm-hmm. Deuces. So I think that's the journey.
So I like when you said tone it down. I mean, Robin, I'll say this quickly. When I was
in
Wazoo, I was perceived, you know, I had a roommate. She was an AK as well. And everybody perceived me as the wild one and her as kind of the innocent one. And when you really knew what went on in our apartment, you would know that she was probably a lot more wild than people knew. And I was a lot more innocent because I was counting my numbers, you know, with this background.
I ain't gonna lie, Leah. I'm learning a lot here tonight. I did think you were the wild one. I'm gonna go on and
say, oh my God, but
I did too, Leah. I did too. But thanks for correcting the record.
That particular store of ours won a $50 bet because I wouldn't go through with sleeping with one of the white guys in our comm class, but she did for $50. We had a bet because I was like, I've never slept with white men.
And I want to know.
So, yeah, she was a lot more wild than people knew. And so everybody perceived me as a wild one. But you know what I did, Sean, is that when people perceived me as a wild one, I acted wilder. I wanted to show them. And it's funny because we're on the phone with Robin and Robin's, you know, ex could not stand me for his brother. And his brother absolutely loved the ground I walked on. He worshiped the ground I walked on. And I would act like super drunk and just super wild. I would walk in front of him and I would dance and I would just be like lifting my shirt up and I would just, you know, and the next day he would be like, why do you do that to my brother? You know what upsets him? And I'd be like, I don't care. And I was like, if he wants you to find somebody like Robin, find somebody like Robin. Then yeah, I'm not going to be Robin. I'm Leah. And I was like, I'm going to be Leah. And
all the while, you probably were more like me than we understood.
Than we ever knew, right? But I was like, I'm going to continue this perception of this loud. So when everybody found out I was going to law school, they were like really shocked because they were like, we didn't think Leah did anything but fight, get drunk, kick it, step. You know, like they didn't think I did. I actually had really good grades, way better than my roommates. And everybody was like, really? You're going to law school? I thought she was going to law school. I'm like, we're both going to law school, you know, but I have to tone that down. I've learned it, Sean, to tone it down. Like, I don't just, I'm Leah, you know, da, da. But I still have like a real, you know, tendency that when I get right there, it's about 50%. And somebody says, you know, you were talking a lot while we were at dinner. I'll be like, and then the next time we go to dinner, I'm going to talk the whole dinner. Because that's, don't try to change me. Like, I am who I am. And I don't like people to shush me. I don't like my voice being, you know, oh, you talk so loud. I'm like, yeah, I'm loud. I've been loud my whole life, you know. And, but I'm trying to figure out, you know, what that is. And that was a real, real powerful, you know, like maybe it was right. You know, maybe it is that I'm kind of alpha-ish and I want to find somebody who's beta-ish so that I can be more alpha-ish. Because I'm married somebody who was very quiet. I've dated really quiet guys.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. In the South, I'm on a quest to get all of my friends out here into the Mid-South. There is a fine man somewhere out here who's also beta. Just right for you. You ain't got to stick with your
Is he heterosexual? For sure. He's the last man I dated from the South, I wasn't for sure that he was heterosexual.
Well, I mean, you'll find your match. But let me ask this question, because with the time that's left, I do want to explore this piece. It was brought up either earlier in this episode or last episode. I can't remember. But I remember it was Sean Jay who did make the statement, sometimes we're the problem. And I want to know, because I know we're all grown and sexy enough to understand that sometimes we have been in our relationships the problem. What do you do when you realize that you have some work to do, that you are the problem? Do you leave? Do you? And I'm not saying change, because we've talked about being, you know, authentic, be our authentic selves. But if there's work to be done, you know, there, we already addressed that sometimes, you know, two authentic people are just not right for each other. And that's not necessarily a problem in and of itself. It's just not going to work as a relationship for that. But if you realize you're bringing something into a relationship that's problematic, what do you do? How does that come to light? And what do you do? Any thoughts?
Don't you have to decide if it's problematic or is it your need? What if your need is problematic? I mean, like, I'm trying to think about that, because, you know, what if it's my need? Should I say, okay, well, I don't have this need anymore, and then the problem goes away?
Such after a while. Tell me more about what that's need. What is that need?
I think I told you about my love of, you know, my husband. I used to get dressed for court, and everybody in court would be like, oh my God, you're such a beautiful Black woman, blah, 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 blah. He never would say anything. My hair, dress, clothes, bad shoes, you know, like he wouldn't mention anything. And his answer was, people tell you you're beautiful all the time. I don't need to do that.
So the need for words of affirmation, which you right. say was your love language.
Right. And I was like, well, is it would the problem completely dissipate if I just said, well, people do tell me I'm pretty all the time. So why do I need my husband to do it all the time? You know, like, and just let that be enough to fill that need. Or maybe just looked at it and said, I don't need that as much. I can tell myself I'm beautiful, you know, or, you know, is that a way to deal with a problem? Or does that just rear its ugly head, like Sean said about, you know, something else later on down the line, and you start to be resentful that this person hasn't met your needs like you're trying to meet his, you know, or your whatever your partner, you know, like. Do you get resentful because you're saying, well, I'm trying to speak this language, but you're not even trying to speak mine, but I'm just trying to like stifle mine so we don't have a problem.
Terry, you look like you have something to say.
Yeah. For myself, I know Robin knows this, and Lee, you may know this, but my mom passed away when I was 13 of a sudden heart attack. So I'm used, well, I unfortunately have dealt with sudden loss. And my dad was not in my life 2 years after that. He just pretty much abandoned me. So I have known, like, if I knew that I dated one guy, he was going to be going and moving back east, I pretty much know that if I'm not going to be with him, I pretty much can cut that tie, knowing that we're not going to have a relationship down the road. That's pretty much going to be it. If I don't see a long-term relationship going to be lasting, because I have dealt with loss, I pretty much can say bye. Mm-hmm. And that's unfortunate. And I can soothe myself through that. It's difficult, but that's just something that I've had to learn to have to deal with. And it almost caused me and Kevin not to be able to get together, because I was afraid that he was going to leave me too. Not leave me, but I was afraid that our relationship was not going to last because of the death of my mother. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of I've just kind of been like, you know, somebody could leave me suddenly and I just need to learn on how to possibly deal with loss. But if I know that somebody is not going to be in my life long term, I can just pretty much say, you got to go and I got to go and this is not going to last. And I just got to learn how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of deep. But, you know, I think where I'm thinking about what you just said, Terry, is, okay, so if we're identifying fear of abandonment as being the touch point, the problem, if that's what we're saying, somehow you got through mm-hmm. that with your now, how many years have you been married, you say?
25 and together for 31 on December 2nd.
25 years married, 31 years together. So somehow you managed to work through that to stick it out with Kevin, because you just said, you know, you might not have made it early on. So this, in this case, what did you do when that problem came, if it ever surfaced? What, how did you overcome it? Because you clearly have strategized, you had a strategy that got you through it.
With Kevin, we started off honestly as friends, and we never, it never was anything that was really intense because we were just really, really good friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
when was you and Kevin friends? I don't remember you guys being friends. You guys, but, boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah, I can attest they were friends. I was like,
we were friends.
We're gonna let this good man go because she got some problems. That's what I was thinking in my head.
I remember Kevin coming in and Joe with Hassan, and I didn't think that they were friends. I thought that they was digging each other. I, at least I knew Kevin was digging Terry.
Kevin was into Terry long before she gave him a chance.
He will tell you, Lee, when he sees you, he would say hi to me on campus. I'd say, hi, how you doing? And I would keep walking. He was like, why were you doing me like that? I was like, I was saying hi. I didn't ignore you. But I was
just going to keep her honest because I was like, don't be telling no lies about Wazoo because I remember.
Yeah, I know.
We got receipts.
But that's real life.
We got receipts. Look. In Pullman, be honest because Leah got receipts. Okay,
I got the whole memory.
Yeah. But no, we were really and truly like friends. I mean, we started in calculus class and then we were like, you started tutoring me because math is not my stronghold, seriously. And we just started watching movies together, but we were truly, truly friends.
Mm-hmm.
So we really, you know, did not have any boyfriend, girlfriend problems. And, you know, marriage isn't in a relationship. You're going to have issues and things like that, but it has not been issues like I've had with other dudes and stuff.
Yeah.
It just really and truly happened. And that's just really a blessing.
Easier. I hear you saying, and we're kind of out of time, so I'm going to see if this is a good summary. You're saying that in your case, and what I hear a lot of times, the foundation of friendship is a good place to start. I feel like with that, we do get to know more about the mate that we're talking about. So you kind of see some of those things and you know what you want to invest your energy and time and emotion in or not, and make a decision that way. But that foundation was kind of key to getting through what that problem was for you.
Absolutely. When you start off with a friendship, to me, this is just like in our case, and I can only speak for us, that is what has gotten us through, you know, being broke, being sick, dealing with trauma, you know, dealing with, you know, kids, you know, dealing with, you know, everything that goes on in life. That's what's gotten us through.
Thank you, Terry. Shanjay, I see you definitely have something to say. This will be our closing statement because we're out of time, but go for it, Shanjay.
So I just wanted to echo what Terry was saying. I think because of her abandonment stuff, I think because they had that foundation of friendship,
mm-hmm.
he was able to demonstrate what a person in your life should and could be. And so she was able to open herself to that. And I think that's why it was a surprise. Like it was a friendship. And then it was like, oh, wait a minute. Oh.
Right.
Yes.
He saw you And then you were able to see him through him demonstrating what it is to be a friend first and then a partner. And I think that's what a lot of relationships lack, is the being seen and then seeing the other person for where they are, who they are, not where you want them to be, but where they are that at that moment, and just being there. And I think that's the good example of what every relationship really needs, is just seeing the other person and being okay with it.
Yes.
Definitely.
And that's a good place for us to wrap this conversation. But Shanjay, before we go, because I was just reminded what an awesome conversation I got to have with you on your show. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about your show so they know where to find you?
Quite certainly. Thank you ever so much, Robin. My show is Underneath the Shade Tree with Shanjay, and it's a long form interview conversation show where I sit down with folks and they basically tell me their life's journey and the challenges that they've had, and hopefully those challenges help others in their life's journey.
Thank you. Yes. And the awesome conversation.
Wonderful.
Thank you. So I want to, this time always goes way too quickly. So I'll just have to have y'all back for a continued conversation, because this has been amazing.
Terry, I get to come back? Do I get to come back like more than them, because they've already been back?
We're going to get you in. We'll get you in out, Leah. You are a wonderful guest. Thank you so much for joining us. Leah, welcome to the fold. Terry, Shanjay, thanks for participating. As always, I had a wonderful time. Kurt, Casey, Clayton, I missed you tonight, but thank you so much for being the producer and for the theme music for the show. You're awesome, and you are
thank
not
you,
problematic.
Robin.
I want to remind everybody that you can listen to this show at your leisure by following Traveler's Guide to Venus and Mars with Princess Robin on 8 major podcast platforms. Subscribe and support if you like what you hear, and tell others about it as well. Share your thoughts with us. And remember to follow us on social media. Facebook is Traveler's Guide to Venus and Mars with Princess Robin. Instagram is at just Princess Robin. Thanks for joining us. And remember, regardless of what the roadmap says, you've got to follow your own heart. Until next time, smooches.
Thank you, Robin.